Star. Healdsburg, California, September 22nd, 1891, 3 a.m.
Dear brother, I cannot forbear writing to you. I knew your countenance as you were seated in the tent at my right hand on the Sabbath, September 13, 1891, at Colorado Springs. The Lord has presented your case before me as one who was in need of that help which God alone could give you. I heard words of hopelessness and despair coming from your lips. I heard wicked words, blasphemous words. Said Jesus, as he looked upon you piteously, "These are not the words of the man, but the words of the Spirit that has possessed him. God will heal him. He has gone far in resisting the Spirit of God, but Jesus is drawing him by the tender cords of his love. He has separated from God, but God has not separated from him. Through a train of circumstances, he has lost confidence in himself, in his best friends, and turned from light to darkness, from truth to error, and has been left to feel his own weakness. You were the very one I was shown who was under the power of demons. When this young man gives himself to Christ, the victory is gained." Said the heavenly voice, "Break with the deceiver. He is deluding your soul to your ruin. He will not let you go. Only the power of the mighty deliverer can save you. Charge not my precious, loving Savior with your unhappiness and your ruin. The storm of temptation has swayed you like a reed in the wind, and through these bitter and almost overwhelming storms, you have clung to your mantle of pride, hugging it closer about you. Prostrated in the dust, you are apparently devoid of willpower, without strength to rise. No earthly friend is powerful enough to raise you. You still cling to your pride. You utter the words of Satan abiding in your heart. Said Christ, "It is not he, but a demon that speaks. I will save him if he will trust in me as a little child trusts in his father, his mother. Lay your pride at the feet of one who owns you, who loves with a love that is infinite. Stand in your God-given manhood, in the strength of him who can save to the uttermost all who come unto him. Then your purposes will not be like ropes of sand. In his presence, standing under the shadow of the cross, his mercy, his love, his forgiveness cover the blackest stains of sin. The Holy Spirit helpeth your infirmities. The Master has work for you to do, to speak words of hope, of comfort, of love, of Christ's forgiveness, pardon to the helpless, the wandering, the lost. You have no will that leads you to Jesus, but a will that leads you away from him. With open arms he will receive you. The Lord has made provision for your simple necessities. While you need not despise money, you will appreciate it in a different light than you have hitherto done. You will say, 'It is all the Lord's. My skill, my aptness and ability, I have misapplied. I will now let Jesus elevate me by the golden chain of truth that will bind me to his eternal throne. I ask you to work and walk out on my faith, if you cannot on your own. Answer the drawings of the Holy Spirit of God. Accept the prayers of the people of God in your behalf. Poor, tempest-tossed soul, only believe in Jesus' willingness to save you. Let not Satan be your spokesman any longer. Jesus has work for you to do. Satan will speak for you if you will let him, but tell him, no. Let my lips utter only words of faith and hope and truth. Keep talking faith. Rebuke the enemy, and the great black cloud of despair will arise and roll back and disappear. You cannot make yourself any better. Jesus can do all this. When the Israelites were bitten by the fiery, poisonous serpents, whose sting was certain death, the brazen serpent was lifted up on a pole, and Jesus, enshrouded in the cloudy pillar, bade Moses tell them, "Look and live." Numbers 21, verse 8. The same Jesus has bidden me tell you, look and live. Do not climb the pole, but only look. I present Christ to you. Look and live. There is hope, comfort, and peace for you. There is even joy in the Holy Ghost for you. Now I bid you, in the name of Jesus, look and live. You may say, "Oh, I am a great sinner." I admit it. Jesus is well acquainted with all this, and he says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 2, verse 17. He has paid the ransom money for sour soul, and the price was his own flesh and blood. The badness of your heart should not keep you away from Christ, but bring you closer to your only hope, your only helper. Will you allow Satan to triumph? He has unbalanced your mind so that you are not able to reason calmly and sensibly. Oh, the marvels of the grace of Christ for you! Behold how Jesus loves you! Satan is pleased to have you look upon God as a tyrant. There is no wrath in God except for the hateful character of sin. Lay your sin on Jesus, leave it to him. Then do what he tells you to do as a little child, irrespective of consequences.
Satan is playing the game of life for your soul. Shall he conquer? I say no, 1,000 times no. God has a work for you to do, but all you have now to do is to look to Jesus, who was lifted up, and live. It is the love of Christ for your soul that constrains me. Shall Christ have died for you in vain? You are unconsciously groping after the heavenly light. Satan shall not conquer. He shall be expelled through prayer and faith. When you come to Jesus, you find he comes to you and clasps you in his everlasting arms. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, I rebuke the foul and wicked spirit that has acted for you. Jesus is the conqueror. You may exert all your powers, were they not under the bewitching power of Satan, and you echo his sentiments. But Christ will break his power for his work. He testifies, he is to break every yoke and set the oppressed free. You have been bought with a price, even the precious blood of Christ. You feel and see only wrath and condemnation, that you may hate God and all who lead you to Jesus. In Christ, you may find all you need. The loving Savior is already drawing nigh to heal you. Satan would have your soul. Shall he have it? Say no, never. It is Christ's property. Satan says, "Curse God and die." Job 2, verse 9. Will you do it? He curses God for you, that you may repeat his wicked blasphemy. Will you do it? No, for Jesus has died. He has purchased your life. Your soul is his property, and he will take you by the hand. He will draw you away from perdition. He will make you, as John, his beloved disciple, to win the crown of eternal life. He bids you, through me, his humble servant, look and live. Numbers 21, verse 8. He opens his loving heart to you, that you may hide in the cleft of the rock. Say not, "There is no hope for me." Satan triumphs every time you say it. Let these thoughts be in your heart. Thou, O Lord, hast created me for thyself. He has permitted you to live that you might become acquainted with Jesus and be willing to follow him.